Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Young children like to play games of pretend. They happily dress up in old clothes and say they're father and mother, or a doctor, dentist, or shopkeeper. When some grow up, they make a living from pretending to be a character in a play or a movie. These people are called actors. But some people continue to pretend in real life. They can break the law by twisting the truth or taking money from rightful owners under false pretenses. Some people even pretend to be Christians. There's a big difference between real Christians and pretend Christians. Pretend Christians learn all the right words to say, but don't have any true commitment or love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible book Matthew chapter 7, Jesus taught, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. By their fruits you will know them." Pretend Christians may speak well, but do not treat fellow Christians kindly. Often they have a strong love of money and possessions, and sometimes are caught out telling lies. King Saul played pretend games to suit his own ends. He pursued his son-in-law David to have him killed. David had done nothing to offend the king, but the king suspected that David had been appointed by God to be the next king. Saul didn't want this. He was so ego-driven that he thought he could prevent God's plans. At times, Saul pretended to be friendly toward David, but then suddenly he would attack. When David fled to Samuel at Ramah, Saul heard of this and sent groups of soldiers to arrest him. When each group of soldiers came close to the school of prophets, they forgot their mission and enjoyed fellowship with the prophets. When Saul heard of this, he made the journey to arrest David himself. He did not understand that David was under the special protection of God.
For an entire day now, like the three groups of messengers before him, the king has joined the pupils of the school in prophesying. He has even removed his kingly robes.
It's a wonderful thing to see, Samuel, and I thank God for it. Yet, I cannot place any permanent confidence in the king's repentance.
I'm afraid, David, my son, that you are right. The king's assurance that he is at peace with you is only temporary.
Then, do you think I should take this opportunity to escape?
That would be my advice, David.
I yearn to see Jonathan again. I'll go to him and plead my innocence. Oh, Jonathan.
David.
Oh, how good it is to see you again. Your friendship encourages me and helps me overcome my fears and doubts.
Well, that's what friends are for, David. But I really do think your fears this time are groundless.
Well, you believe that your father, the king, has changed?
Towards you, definitely. There are only two things that can really change the nature and purposes of a person: love and religion. My father has returned to the worship of the God of heaven.
Well, I certainly have done your father no harm. Or have I? But if so, what is my iniquity? Why does he seek to take my life?
Oh, I wish I knew, David. I know what I can do. I am heir to the throne, and Father seeks to train me to become his successor. So he does nothing, either great or small, except he tells me about it first. I shall attempt to discover Father's true attitude toward you now that he has been to the school of the prophets.
I sincerely hope he's changed, Jonathan. I know you believe he has, but as the Lord liveth, there is but a step between me and death. I'm sure of it. In spite of his professed love and religion.
Oh, I guess I haven't convinced you, have I? Look, you're my best friend. I want to help you. Whatever you desire, I will do.
Tomorrow is the new moon, the beginning of the new year. The yearly feast and celebration will be held. You and I, as members of the royal household, are expected to be present.
Yes?
Well, what if I didn't attend?
What do you mean?
What if I were to have permission from you to visit my father's home instead of attending the king's feasts? What would happen?
Well, I think that is rather difficult to predict.
My point exactly. If your father notices my absence and becomes angry, it'll show beyond doubt that his attitude and intentions toward me have not changed.
I think you are right, David. And if my father is not angry, it probably would be because he realizes that you are chosen of God and should have the right and privilege to come and go as you see fit. This will prove that his attitude has changed. As eldest son of the king and heir to the throne, I herewith give you permission to visit your father's home during the festivities at the palace.
After 2 days of the celebration, we'll meet, and then I may learn of your father's reaction.
Right, David, my friend.
Well, my son, this is the second day of the yearly feast and celebration. By the way, I noticed David was absent yesterday, and today also. Do you know why he has not come to the feast?
David sought my permission to visit his father's house in Bethlehem.
You gave him permission?
Yes, Father.
I am king. Speak to me with the proper respect.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Oh, you are an unfaithful son. Do you think I am blind to what goes on? You choose David over me. You love him more than you love me, your own father and king. You are the rightful heir to the crown of Israel. Don't you have the sense to realize that as long as the son of Jesse lives, you will never be king? But you will be king. I decree it. Now send someone or go yourself and get David. Bring him to me at once, for he shall surely die.
Why should David be slain? What has he done?
My own son questioning my word. I'll teach you, you...
Father!
Gasp! Missed him! Silence! Silence, all of you! Get out of here! I am the king!
During the excitement, Jonathan left the banquet hall, knowing that his father had not changed toward David.
What is to become of father? The evil spirit has complete control of him. And David, what of him? I must help him. God will help him, too, and save him from harm and danger.
And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David. And David fell to the ground and bowed himself 3 times before Prince Jonathan. And they greeted one another and wept, that the anger of the king towards David was greater than ever, and surely he would continue with renewed vigor and effort his attempts to take the life of David. And Jonathan said unto David,
Go in peace, David, my friend. For as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. Goodbye, David. God bless you.
Goodbye, Jonathan, my true friend. May God bless and prosper you.
David and Jonathan were very sad that day when they parted. They had made solemn promises of friendship to each other, that they would take care for each other and their families in the future. Where then could David flee so he would be safe from Saul's soldiers? God's appointed system of cities of refuge wasn't working. Instead, the king had become a dictator and his own word was now law. When everything in life seems to be against us, we can say with Jacob in the Bible book of Genesis chapter 42, All these things are against me. Or we can say with Paul in Romans chapter 8, All these things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord. Our attitude is very important in such times, and so is our prayer life. David was learning through his troubles how to handle people and how to handle himself. He learned to trust God and wait for his timing. David didn't let Saul's hatred of him harden his own heart. This is something all believers in Christ need to learn. When someone shouts angry words at you, love them instead of shouting back. When someone treats you unfairly, love them and don't return like for like. We must overcome evil with good and hate with God's love. The Lord Jesus said in the Bible book of John chapter 15, My commandment is this, love one another just as I love you. And the greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them. And he did just that for hopeless sinners like you and me. If you want to be a friend of Jesus, you must come to him admitting your wrongdoing. Ask him to save you and be your Lord. We must understand this. If you want to be friends with Jesus, you must say goodbye to friendship with the world. Friendship with the world is hatred toward God. In 1 John chapter 2 it says, "Do not love the world or anything that belongs to the world. If you love the world, you do not love the Father. Everything that belongs to the world, what the sinful self desires, what people see and want, and everything in this world that people are so proud of, none of this comes from the Father. It all comes from the world. The world and everything in it that people desire is passing away. But those who do the will of God live forever." How can we develop a good relationship with our friend Jesus, who also happens to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Firstly, talk respectfully to him and often through prayer. Regularly read something from his word. Each week, worship him in the company of like-thinking people who study the Bible. Pray for opportunities to tell others about your friendship with Jesus and what it means to you. Not everyone will be interested in your message, so don't let yourself become discouraged. Try to make good friendships with mature disciples of Jesus. These people will help answer any questions that you have. They'll also motivate you to keep going when you think the going is getting tough. They'll also pray for you. When famous missionary Hudson Taylor was living in a coastal city of China, he had a good friend he depended upon for moral support. After some time, Hudson understood that God was calling him to move out into one of the country provinces. He delayed doing so because he was reluctant to leave his friend. One day, Hudson was at a function when a missionary sang a song entitled "The Missionary Call." The words spoke of being willing to give up friends and everything else for the sake of Jesus' kingdom. Hudson felt guilty and spoke to his friend. Hudson confessed how unwilling he had been to follow the Lord's calling and go to a certain province. The friend looked surprised. He'd determined to tell Hudson that night that the Lord had called him to go to the same province. So they went together and continued their happy fellowship. After some years, the Lord blessed their work there greatly. Is there something holding you back from doing God's work? Talk to him about it today.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let him ask in faith.
That was George Searcy singing "Let Him Ask in Faith." The drama is from The Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again: John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.